Okay, I'm Amy Butler from the School of Social Work at the University of Iowa, and I have nothing to disclose. Now, this talk is on child victimization and poverty, race, sex, and age-specific associations, and I came upon this research because I had been doing research on poverty and the association between poverty and depression, adolescent depression. And when I was doing the literature review, I thought, you know, I need to justify why I'd want to look at why poverty might be related to adolescent depression, or at least depressive symptoms. And so I thought, well, all these, you know, sort of very traumatic things may be more likely to occur to kids in poverty, which could then cause depression. And so I'll just put that in my literature review. So I'm looking through the literature, and there are a number of references to the link between depression and poverty that say that, well, it could be victimization, that children, poor children are more likely to be victimized for these variety of reasons, and then there would be the citation, so I'd go look for the citation. And I'd look at these studies, and they really were very unsatisfying. I'm a poverty researcher, and these studies would have nice measures of victimization, but their measure of poverty would be, like, very lame. Something like, well, the family income was below $20,000. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, how many people are in the family? That's going to make a difference. Or maybe, what year is this? Because that's going to make a difference. And, like, one big study, they used this cutoff $20,000 in 1995. And then another study used the same cutoff in 2002. And I'm thinking, there's been 18% inflation in the meantime. And so I was so dissatisfied with the evidence that I didn't even include any mention to this link between poverty and victimization in my literature review. But I thought, well, maybe I can take a look at that because I have a great data set that measures poverty. So let me just go straight to my data set, and then I'll... The panel study on income dynamics began in 1968 and has been interviewing, the same families every year since, or at least every year from 1968 up through 1997, and then it's been every other year. And those surveys, their main focus originally was to get to study the dynamics of family income. So they have excellent measures of income and poverty. So that's what I'm using. In 1997, they started interviewing children in the panel study. And so these are children of, maybe grandchildren of the original family members. And then they interviewed them again, those same children, in 2002, and then again in 2007. And then once the children reached age 18, they were interviewed separately in the transition to adulthood study with a separate questionnaire. So I have this data set with very good measures of poverty, at least as good as what the federal poverty, official poverty measure looks like, and there are problems with that one. But, and then I also have measures of victimization by the children themselves, and then once they turn 18, I have some questions of them reflecting back over what happened to them as children. And so my sample sizes here are for 8 to 12-year-olds, I have 1,500. For 13 to 17-year-olds, I have 1,700. And for the 18 to 21 who are looking back to their younger years, I have 1,800. So I should say before I go on that one of the reasons why the the existing research literature does not have good measures of poverty is because if you're going to do a study of victimization of children, you really want to interview the children to find out if they've been victimized. But the children are not good informants when it comes to their family's income. To get a good measure of the family's income, you have to interview the parents. And so this survey is, the panel study of income dynamics has both. So specifically, the questions on victimization that I used are these. These first two were asked of the respondents once they had turned 18. Have you ever been sexually assaulted or raped? And if they say yes, how old were you when it first happened? And then, have you ever been beaten or physically attacked? How old were you when it first happened? And so then of the teenagers, the adolescents, while they were still adolescents, there's a question, have you ever had a gun or a knife pulled on you? And then there's a series of questions that sort of pick up on bullying or being bullied, though I call it maybe peer harassment, being harassed by peers. Next, I'm going to ask you some questions about your experiences with kids at school and in your neighborhood. In the last month, how often have the kids in your school or elsewhere picked on you or said mean things to you? And then the possibilities are, well, not in the last month, or a couple times in the last month, all the way up to every day. Hit you, taken your things, like your money or lunch, without asking. Purposely left you out of your friends' activities. And then finally, in the last month, how often did you feel safe in school? And it could be anywhere from, well, I always felt safe, to I never felt safe. Every day I felt unsafe. So based on those questions, I have these research questions. Is poverty associated with children having been physically attacked, sexually assaulted, or threatened with a weapon? Is poverty associated with having been repeatedly picked on, hit, stolen from, or left out of friends' activities during the previous month? Is poverty associated with feeling unsafe at school? Is the association between poverty and victimization greater within certain race, gender, and age groups of children than others? So let me first go to just two tables that just show you the percentages of how often is this happening to the various groups. So we can see on had a gun or knife pulled on you. The rates for white males, white females, and black females, pretty similar, 5, 6, 7%. For black males, it's 26%. Felt unsafe at school at least 2 or 3 days each week. Here we see sort of a race difference here. The black males and females are more likely to feel unsafe at least 2 or 3 days a week than the white kids. Was physically beaten or attacked. And here I broke it down to under 18 and then also under 13. And here we have, it's a gender difference here, that white males and black males are more likely than white females or black females. And these little doodads up here, these little like 10.2, then up here I have 1, 3. That means that this number is in column 2, and it's significantly different from column 1. This number is different from column 1 and column 4, column 3. So the white females are different from the males, the black females are different from the males, but the white and black females are not significantly different from one another. Then we have sexually attacked or raped. Here is again a gender thing. The girls are more likely to be sexually attacked or raped. Okay, so now bullying behavior. We see here that the black kids somewhat more likely to be bullied age 8 to 12. Once we get to high school, the whole bullying drops off. Okay, 5 minutes. The whole bullying drops off. However, except maybe for the being picked on for the white kids, but however, if we look before, it's the older kids who are more likely to be sexually assaulted, physically beaten. So different kinds of victimization is happening to them. Okay, so now let's look at the last two tables. These are odds ratios for victimization with poverty. And so we see here, the odds ratio of the likelihood that you have a gun or knife pulled on you is much more likely to occur if you're poor, for white girls only. Feeling unsafe at school is more likely to occur for poor kids if they're female. Physical attack. All kids are more likely to be physically attacked if they're poor, with the exception of black males. Sexual assault is not associated with poverty at all. And I only look at it for females because there were so few males who were reported being sexually assaulted. And then I have the bullying type behaviors. Here we can see at the top, 8 to 12 years old. In red, I have the significant odds ratio. So you can see, just running your eyes down, it's the white girls for whom the white girls are more likely to be report these bullying, being bullied in this way or harassed in this way if they're poor. The other kids during 8 or 12 to some extent as well, but once kids get into high school, it's poverty is associated with being harassed for the white girls. And then this is simply a composite score down here, a bullying composite score, just adding all those various variables together. So anyway, the patterns we see here are not easy to summarize briefly. We see several interesting things. The bullying is associated with poverty, primarily among the white girls. The physical attack is associated with poverty, but not for the black males. The white females were very unlikely to have a gun or knife pulled on them, you know, like 5%, but the ones who did have the gun or knife pulled on them are much more likely to be poor. What's interesting here is the black males. There's no association here between poverty and having a gun pulled on you, being physically attacked. And so one way we can look at it is black males can't really escape this kind of violence, even when their income rises. You might think when family income rises, kids move to safer neighborhoods, kids are just generally safer for a variety of reasons. They have more supervision by their parents because their parents aren't working constantly. But it's not a protective factor for black males. So, one final word I want to mention that these are, we can't really draw any causal connections here. These are victimization events that occur are more likely to occur to kids who are poor, but why that's the case is these data don't tell us. Thank you.